Hello, everybody, and welcome to the 15th episode of the Fan to Fan podcast, brought to you by Pro Wrestling Ponderings and Wrestle Folks. Be sure to follow both of those groups on Twitter at PW Ponderings and at Wrestle Folks. Subscribe to both on iTunes, leave a 5-star review, and leave some nice comments as well. Because you love the show, and you want to have more people hear that and all the other great shows in the network, and that's the way to do it. I want to thank everybody for listening to episode 14 last week with Tom Richards. I also want to thank people who had some kind words to say about what I said about Tom Green and my Crohn's disease and depression at the beginning of the episode. Had some very nice people send some feedback about everything, and it was very greatly appreciated. And unfortunately, a friend of mine who also has Crohn's disease but has it way worse than I do, been suffering from it so long, unfortunately, he passed away on Tuesday morning, and I was in a weird headspace for most of my Tuesday night after hearing the news. I posted about something on Twitter, but it gave me a great appreciation for my health, which could be so much worse, but thankfully it's in great condition, and it made me kind of realize that, you know, life is short. We need to appreciate all the things we do have and kind of make the most of what we can with our family and friends and everything else we have in this world, you know. They're stupid, petty things that all of us kind of worry about on a daily basis, and at the end of the day, they don't really matter. What matters most is the effect you make on people's lives and how much time you spend with them and just making the most of everything. So for people who reached out on Twitter, like Georgie Boy, Mark, Nick Manoa, Jen, Lane Smith, Ben Gordon, Chris GST, Mike Robles, Brian Hughes, Tom Green sent me a very nice text message. Your words meant a lot to me, and I'm very thankful that you guys said something. So it's good to know that there is a community of people out there that, yeah, we're all wrestling fans. We talk and joke about wrestling all the time, but we care about each other too. And I think that's kind of the power of the internet and the internet wrestling community. So like I said, I wanted this podcast to be a way to show that, hey, not all wrestling fans are jerks. There's some good ones out there. And well, I have proof. But this week is another great wrestling fan I have on the podcast. What a ham-fisted segue that was. Zia Hilty. Most of you probably know her as being the resident shutterbug of Chikara, the photographer for that group. She's done photography for a ton of other wrestling groups. And when I was interviewing her and talking to her, I had a great time. It was such a fascinating interview. But the thing that really rang in my head was something I said on my episode of Wrestle Folks I did with Tom, which kind of was the point of this podcast is I feel like there's a lot of times where people see bloggers, podcasters, wrestlers, announcers, whatever else, and they kind of just take them for face value. They don't really get to know the person behind that. And I think every fan has a unique story, and I think getting to know the person behind that is really, really interesting. And I think for most people, for Zia's case, they know her as that woman who takes pictures at wrestling shows. But she has an awesome story of her life about her watching wrestling as a kid and then stop watching it, getting into roller derby and punk rock. The story of her meeting Larry Sweeney is worth your listening to this alone, as well as her interactions with some of the guest stars at King of Trios 2012. So you want some really cool, unique wrestling stories? I got them here for you. So without further ado, I want you to sit back and listen to a great, really fun talk with my new BFF, Zia Hilty. All right, Zia Hilty, how are you doing today?
Hey, I am doing pretty good. I'm doing okay. I just started a new job this week, so my brain is a little fried, but...
Oh, yeah. I forgot we were trying to put together times. Your new job got yeah. Also on the same week as Daylight Savings Time, which has really messed me up, so this could get goofy real fast.
Yeah, it sucks, because I'm already... Now that it's dark, by the time I leave work, I'm just... convinced that the world is slowly trying to kill us. That's what I think winter is. Like, it's getting darker, it's getting colder. It's just trying to encourage us to stay in our houses longer, I think.
So the world's just trying to kill us? That's the idea?
The world's just trying to kill us. Actually, that's honestly what I think snow is. I just think that we're too adapt, like we're too evolved as a society to realize that snow is just the world trying to kill us off. Mm-hmm. We don't realize it because we have houses and stuff. So
right. Or like mm-hmm. you're the person outside and be like, no one else thinks this is crazy that mm-hmm. the sky is just spewing ice chunks mm-hmm. at us.
The world is mad and it's trying to get rid of us, but we have cars and homes, so we don't really notice, but I think that's the world's intention.
Well, we also created global warming, so suck it, nature.
We did.
Yeah, there's not going to be any snow anymore to kill us. Then Earth's going to have to figure out some other way to do it.
Yeah.
Well, actually, they did. It's called diet soda.
Yes. Yes. I agree. There's lots of ways. There's lots of self-invented ways that we've come up with to try and kill us, just in case nature doesn't beat us to it.
My friend or my roommate the other day was talking about preservatives and stuff and beef, and he eats a lot of, because he's not a, very well versed in cooking or anything, so he eats a lot of like boxed meals and stuff from Target or wherever else. And he's like, man, eating all this is probably going to kill me from all the preservatives. And I'm like, you drink a million diet sodas a day. Like, it's just one of those things where I'm like, you know what? Something's going to kill you in this world. Might as well be something you like. So.
It's not good for you. I'm actually, get ready for a bunch of people to already turn off the podcast, but I'm actually a vegetarian. So, but what's crazy
I'm
about being
turning off the
vegetarian,
podcast.
you're like, I'm just going to disconnect this conversation if that's
So,
okay.
yeah, get your plugs in and we'll get out.
So, Zio, it's great to have you. Thanks for stopping by. But the thing about being a vegetarian is like all of those fake meats and stuff like that, I don't eat any of that stuff because that stuff's all bad for you too. Like that's just all straight up chemicals and like processed like wheat gluten. That stuff's not good for your body either.
Yeah.
So,
It's like those people who go on like Atkins diets. Like, why am
yeah,
I not
right?
losing any weight? And I'm like, well, you're just eating bacon cheeseburgers without the bun all the time. Like,
Yeah,
that's not
exactly.
gonna help, buddy.
It's not going to help. Yeah, a lot of people think that like if you're vegetarian or you're vegan, you eat very healthy, but I know a lot of people who eat like garbage and they're vegetarian and vegan, so that's not always the case.
Yeah, sure,
You can eat.
you can. It's just
But you can also, you can eat crappy no matter what, no matter what your dietary restrictions are, so.
I've had certain dietary restrictions with I have Crohn's disease, so I've done
Oh.
some exploring with like organic food and looking at that stuff. And so when I go to like grocery stores and stuff and look at things, I'm like, it is really easy if you have like a gluten allergy or vegan or something. They make so much stuff to like supplement that.
Yeah, they're making a lot more stuff. It's becoming a lot easier. A lot easier. I have a lot of friends who have like gluten intolerances, and it's become so much easier for them. It's become easier for me too when I have to like travel. The South is still kind of a nightmare for me though. Like it's still hard for me to eat vegetarian in the South because they want to put meat on everything. So
I feel like Mantis recounted a tale on a podcast or something similar to what you're saying.
yeah, probably.
Or like or maybe it was Bryce I was talking to, where we talk about where people would stop at oh my God, what's the name of the place? But just like certain restaurants, and like obviously like there's like no vegetarian options or like
Oh,
vegan
yeah.
options for anybody out there. Like it's still a pretty I think it might have been Steak and Shake that Bryce was talking about.
Oh,
Like
yeah.
there.
Bryce and I love Steak and Shake. We always have to stop at Steak and Shake for milkshakes. It's one of our, it's on our list.
The milkshakes are great. What's the place in the Carolinas that has the really good shakes?
Ooh, I actually don't know. I've only been down there once, so I'm not sure.
Shake Shack, maybe? Something along those.
Oh, yeah, well, Shake Shack is good. They actually just put in a Shake Shack. I've been to a Shake Shack in New York City. That's amazing. And they just put in one by my house.
Yeah,
So,
that's not what I'm thinking of then, because I think there's one in DC that was built. I think I'd heard Aziz Ansari tell a joke about that, and that's why I thought of that. Someone's gonna kill me for not getting it. But anyways, yeah, milkshakes are awesome. That's really, I guess, the end of that story.
I agree. End of story. Chicago Diner has the best milkshake I've ever had. But Bryce, of course, will be mad at me for saying that because it's vegan. So he assures me it doesn't count. But I think it's better than any milkshake I've ever had. So
Well, if it doesn't have milk, can it be a milkshake?
yeah, because it's fake milk, like fake milk is still considered milk, but I
Is
mean,
it though?
I guess you could call it a soy shake, but that just sounds so douchey.
Well,
So
as Lewis Black said, I've never seen a soy tit before. Where's that milk coming from? I don't know.
Once again, Lewis Black, you got me. You got me.
Oh man, is he still around? I feel like I haven't heard his name in a very long time.
I don't know, actually. It's funny because he did a way back in the day, he did a lecture at my school, so I actually got to see him live.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, it was cool.
Jealous.
He was just as intense as you think he's going to be.
Of course.
But I don't know. That's a great question. I don't know if Lewis Black is still around.
In my mind, I think he probably just had serious like cardiac health problems from all his
Yeah.
yelling and stuff, and then he had to just stop doing everything.
Yeah, he must have.
Because
He reminds
he had like a one-off like Comedy Central show that failed, And then that's the last I heard of him.
Yeah, and that was kind of it. I'm sure he's involved somewhere. I could see him like being involved in politics somewhere, kind of like an Al Franken,
Or
kind of
maybe
like
just
transitioning.
writing comedy.
Or just writing comedy. Yeah, that's true. I'm sure somebody will tweet at you and let you know.
Note to self, Google Lewis Black as soon as this is over.
I'm sure Lewis Black, I mean my BF Lewis Black, I'm sure that he'll be listening to this podcast, so I'm sure that he'll just tweet you and let you know.
Absolutely. Thanks, Lewis, in advance. I guess we should probably talk about wrestling. I think that's
I
a
know.
marquee.
Well, now that we've weeded everybody out on like the vegetarian conversations and we have all the diehards here, I think that it's safe to start talking about wrestling.
Some podcasts are when I listen to like the Wrestling Observer podcasts and things like that, there's certain either people that get on shows or certain topics like MMA that people don't want to listen to. So people be like, jump to this minute marker if you want to skip talk about this. So maybe I'll
Oh.
put that in the show notes, like jump to this number marker if you don't want to hate Zia for being
Perfect.
vegetarian. Which, by the way, if
Perfect.
you do, you're an a-hole. So Zia, you like
Yeah,
wrestling.
I do.
When did that start?
I do like wrestling. It actually has started a few times in my life. I actually feel, maybe I should just come right out and say it, but I actually feel a little bit like guilty about my liking of wrestling. Like I don't feel like I'm as big enough of a wrestling fan as everybody I know around me because wrestling has come in and out of my life a whole lot. But I think it started early. It started early with me because I have these stories that my mom told me about me as a very young child watching wrestling with my great grandmother. We used to watch wrestling and roller derby on TV when I was like a wee child.
A wee lad.
A wee lad, just a wee lad in the world. But I think that my earliest recollections of wrestling were the early 90s. I remember I figured it out that I think that I used to watch Superstars a lot because I would be watching cartoons and then Superstars would come on around like, I guess, 11 o'clock. Is that when it was on
That
TV?
makes sense, yeah.
Yeah, around that time. But I feel like that was my first real exposure to it. Like the early 90s, watching it on Superstars, seeing people like Paul Bearer, who is still like one of my absolute favorites, and The Undertaker and Shawn Michaels and all that kind of goofy early 90s stuff.
I've heard about your love for
So,
Paul Bearer.
oh, I love Paul Bearer. I love Paul Bearer so much. He's so great.
Was he like one of the first people you saw on Superstars, or what is it about Paul Bearer that you love about it, aside from just generally being fantastic?
Just generally being amazing. I don't know. I don't know what it was. I think that I was just hooked by everything involved. Like the voice and like his presence and the way he looked. And The Undertaker just always had such amazing entrances that I think that like I was just hooked to that package deal the second I saw it. I've always, it's weird. I've always kind of really secretly loved managers a whole lot. Like Paul Bearer always stuck out in my mind. Jimmy Hart was always amazing. Captain Lou Albano, like Sensational Sherry. Like I loved all of the managers a lot for some reason. Like all the mouthpieces.
'Cause they were usually the ones that were like the most interesting or the ones that
Yeah.
stuck out the most amongst the pack. 'Cause I was sort of the same way. I remember watching, especially like watching like old Coliseum videos, being like, geez, like how many people are Jimmy Hart and Bobby Heenan managing? That's the other thing, is just like the repetition of seeing the person like five times on a show. That
Oh
also
yeah,
helps.
totally. Yeah, it just sticks, especially as a kid. Like, you know, somebody like Paul Bearer is like very visually interesting, and he used to do all those like, you know, he would do all those weird promos, and he would be like in a barn, and the Undertaker would be like making a coffin. Like, it just was great. It was
That is,
so weird and creepy and great.
that's one of my earliest memories as a fan, was watching like one of like the preview channels had like this video for the 94 Rumble, and they had the video of Undertaker shaving apart the casket, like building it for the
Yes.
match with Yokozuna, and Paul Bearer was there, and
Yep.
it was terrifying.
It's so scary. And there's like the fog machine, and they're just kind of like, it's funny to watch it as an adult because it's just funny and weird. And you're like, you guys are just hanging out in a barn, like shaving down a coffin. Like, that's really weird and great.
Yeah, it just there's a camera there for some reason.
Yep, there's just a camera there hanging out.
Like, how did he get
And
there? Why is he with them? Is he a friend of theirs? I just had so many
yep.
questions.
I love that so much of that old stuff is like coming out online now. Like, I don't remember this as a kid, but I saw it recently. Like, Paul Bearer did this. He did this other promo where he's like in his house, like you're getting a run through of a house by Paul
Yes.
Bearer.
That was a segment on like one of those random like old Coliseum videos.
Oh, it's so good and weird. It's great.
Those were like the best parts of like the segments because they'd have like Sensational Sherry and like I wanna God, I can't remember who the other person was. I think it was like Brooklyn Brawler, like teach manners at a restaurant.
I just saw that the other day for the first
Really?
time. It was great. It was so weird. Yeah.
And like Berserker teaches you how to throw a birthday party and like there's just these crazy segments on
Yeah.
videos. I'm like, man, why can't we have those again?
Yeah, these little vignettes, they're brilliant. They're so brilliant. And it allows you to see like a little bit more about the characters more in detail, which I really like. I think it's great. I think it's so amusing.
Yeah, like I was listening to someone talk today about how like take the Usos in WWE today. There is no distinction from one guy to the other. Like
It's
there's
true.
no character, there's nothing about him where like anybody on the roster back in the day like had their kind of own individual personalities, even though they were a team. And I just feel like, little things they could do to differentiate one guy from the other. Like the Briscoe brothers, there's no confusing Jay and Mark. I mean, maybe a little bit if you're not familiar with them, but they certainly have their own different, unique personalities. Like,
Oh,
it's
absolutely.
just something that's missing, I think, a lot of the times today. It's just there's these guys that go there and wrestle, and aside from what's on the surface, you really don't know a lot about them. And it's, what's there to get invested in?
Yeah, totally. I feel like for a little while, I mean, I hate to talk smack about indie wrestling in general because I really do love indie wrestling, but for a little while there was a period when Ring of Honor was just based, it felt like it was just based out of Philly, and a lot of their wrestlers like didn't really have any sort of like characters or personas that really popped out to me. They were all just kind of like big dudes in like black trunks, and I just couldn't keep any of them separated in my head. And just kind of like the magic that I feel about wrestling was kind of lost for me during that like time period with Ring of Honor, just because it was just kind of meh. Everybody was the same. Everybody was just a brawler, you know?
And I remember there was a period I very distinctly remember it was around like spring summer 2008 where they had like the Age of the Fall thing with Jimmy Jacobs going on, and I felt so many shows just they were heavy because there was these just heavy dark storylines going on. And then in the fall, being a Chikara fan at the time, I was excited for them bringing in, I think it was like the Osirian Portal and Up in Smoke came in for a show, and the one thing I wrote about was finally we're going to get some levity on these cards. And everything's not going to feel so heavy and oppressive. So, yeah, I just think you need some colorful characters, some people out there to make things different, to make it feel fun. And listen, WWF in that time period was super fun.
Oh yeah. Here's my question for you.
Please.
What do you think about Los Matadors? Los Matadores? Is that it? Los
Los
Matadores?
Matadores. Same criticism. So here's the thing. I don't really care about Los Matadores. But I love El Torito.
I love El Torito too. He saves it for me.
Yes, because the other two, I'm just kind of, again, it's the same thing as the Usos. There's no differentiation between Diego and Fernando. I think
Yes,
that's their
exactly.
names.
Yes.
They go in the ring, they do their match. Having them wrestle 3MB every single time is not helping them because like whatever, I've already seen them beat them. I don't really care.
Multiple times, yeah.
Yeah,
I don't get that.
and the most fun, unique, great thing about them is El Torito. So, and I feel like. Yeah, you're right. I think he is propping up the other two guys because without him, they would be getting no reaction at all.
Yeah, there's nothing to differentiate them. Yeah, both have the same exact outfit. They both do the same moves. They're like indistinguishable in a way, you know?
And like the main question, I'm like, all right, you guys are mad, or is like, but why are you here in WWE?
Exactly.
Like even back in the day when everybody had an alternative gimmick, like Sparky Plug, and heck, even El Matador and Repo Man and those guys, they at least would have these promos being like, I'm this guy, I do this, but I'm here in the WWF for this reason.
Yeah,
Great.
totally.
Even if it's just like a silly reason, I'm like, okay, great. At least you have a purpose for being here.
Well, they do have a purpose. Their purpose is to wrestle the three-man rock band. Duh, clearly. Clearly, because it happens every week.
Yeah, I guess it does. Or
Somebody's got to put those guys in check, you know what I mean?
or Ricardo and Tyson Kidd under masks, one of those guys.
Yep.
Or the real Americans when they beat them, which is, but I love the real Americans, so that's okay. What's up, Claudia?
Yeah. Yeah, they have their moments. I mean, I love Antonio Cesaro.
Well,
He
of
is
course.
the best. He's so good. And Zeb Coulter is also really good, so.
Yeah. Like anytime I get to see managers really, and I mean like managers like Zeb Coulter, not just one of the total divas happening to be in someone's corner. Like
Yeah.
that's it's such a great throwback to that. And I feel like they add so much. And I'm like, how do you not see how good these managers are? Why don't we have millions of them running around?
I agree. WWE for us is that's kind of what it's all it's funny, that's kind of what it's all about. For us, it's a lot of I haven't seen it in a few weeks, admittedly, but and I've kind of gotten out of track, but it's
You've
always
missed nothing. Let me assure you right there.
that's what I figured. It's always like a heartbreak. Like we watch every week so excited for some reason. It's like eating candy corn. Like I forget that I actually don't like it. And then I like pop it in my mouth and go, oh, candy corn, why? It's kind of like that's the response we have with WWE. It's like every week they find other ways to kind of like disappoint us. But then when there's these like amazing things that happen, it kind of like restores our faith enough to watch next week. It's like a series of heartbreaks and successes all
I'm
at the
not the
same
first one
time.
to say this, but it's very much an abusive relationship.
Oh yeah, it totally is.
Like
It so
you,
much is.
like even like maybe your boyfriend or girlfriend treats you like garbage 6 days out of the week, but you live for that one day a week where they bring home a pizza and you guys watch your favorite movie together. Like that's what it is. So, but like even like I'm always waiting for usually the typical awesome 6-man tag with the Shield or the Rhodes or whoever else.
Yeah,
So.
whoever they decide to put in there.
But thank God for DVR, because now I can just zap through whatever I don't feel like watching.
Yeah, right? That's the best. That's so the best. That's how we watch it too. We record it, let it, wait an hour and then just fast forward and all the commercials. We skip all the commercials too.
Well, obviously. No, guys, we got to
Obviously.
stop. It's commercials. I got
We
to
just
see.
fast forward through all the wrestling and watch the commercials. That's kind of how we do it. So
I got to see the Hump Day commercial again, because that's so
I
funny.
gotta see those Lee jeans commercials for when you have big balls with the football player.
I don't know if I know that commercial.
Oh, it's a classic one. I think it's Brett Favre. It's
That sounds like the name of a football player.
yeah, it's the name of a football player. I don't know, admittedly, I don't know a lot about football, but
Welcome
yeah,
to the
you'll have to.
club.
Yeah, right? We know about real sports like wrestling.
My brain is too full with wrestling to understand anything else about sports balls. So it's okay.
I was actually on a plane recently and this was a few months ago, but something big and exciting happened with like the Denver football team. I believe it's the Denver Broncos.
Yes, that I
And
at least know. I can confirm that.
the guy next to me on the plane was like, hey, he just out of the blue, he was just making conversation. He's like, hey, did you hear about this? Do you watch football? And my immediate response was, oh, no. I only watch real sports, like professional wrestling. And that immediately killed the conversation and he turned away.
That's great.
It was awesome. I like delivered it very straight faced. It was like one of the moments I was the most proud of.
I always wonder, like, because like when I was a kid, if I was going on a plane trip, I'd usually bring like a WWF magazine or like the WCW comic with me. I always wonder what people sitting next to me who like weren't my family would always think. What's it, like, who is that half naked man oiled up on the cover that this young child is reading about?
Yeah, right? Oh
So
yeah,
bizarre.
totally.
Now, how did you figure out that it was like Superstars or Challenge you were watching back in the day? Did you like remember a match or something, and then when you were older, decided to Google it?
Yeah, I just was like Googling, it's funny because I got the I am a sucker for I am a sucker for like DVD collections. So
Oh, me too.
oh man, and especially if they have like good packaging. Oh God, it's like all downhill. So basically I bought that Best of Raw not too long ago. And I was watching, I mean, slowly, I just was watching all the DVDs and watching all the episodes, and I realized that like none of it was really that familiar to me. So I just started thinking about like, well, when were you watching wrestling? What do you actually remember? And I just always vividly remember watching it on Saturdays. So then I deduced that it must have just been Superstars that I was watching.
Okay. Because I remember the first thing I saw was the Smoking Guns versus Reno Riggins and Barry Horowitz. And I knew it was on a Raw. So when I got old, and I could pinpoint it was about 94. So when I was older, I was like, oh, what was that first episode I saw? And I was able to go back and I was like, all right, cool. I feel like there was a void in me that was filled.
Yeah, it's weird because, like, I didn't, when I was growing up, I didn't have, when I was growing up, I didn't actually, we didn't have cable in my house, but as soon as we got it, I was like addicted to cable. But I was more addicted to stuff like Comedy Central. Like, I couldn't, that did not leave my TV for most of my adolescence.
You and me, yeah, it was that and Game Show Network were the two things I watched religiously.
Game Show Network, so good.
Oh yeah. Yeah,
I
like
loved it.
cuz I remember like when I during the summers with my brother, like when you're in elementary school and you have nothing to do, you don't have to go work during the summer.
No,
But
not at all.
like wake up, watch Price is Right, and then at 12 they would run a rerun of Saturday Night Live. Then they would do, I think, Kids in the Hall right after that. And then, like, later in the evening, they do, like, Win Ben Stein's Money and a couple other things. Ugh, best days ever.
They were good. I think yeah, that was so good. Coming home right after school and watching Kids in the Hall. I love Kids in the Hall. I think I've seen every episode of Kids in the Hall ever.
It's really good.
It's so good.
Have you seen that Scott Thomas, or Scott Thompson, excuse me, is in Chris Jericho's web series?
You know what? Somebody just sent me a link to that the other day, and I'm so stoked. It looks so good.
Yeah. Do you listen to any other podcasts by chance?
I do. Yeah, I listen to a few of them actually.
Do you listen to Mark
Wrestling
Maron's
and
podcast
non-wrestling.
by chance?
You know what? Every once in a while, he's a little too abrasive for me. He gives me a little bit of anxiety sometimes,
That's
but
everyone's opinion on the show, and I'm the same way.
yeah.
Like, I can't listen to like more than like two or three episodes in a row. I'm like, I'm depressed. Like, I'm going to go do something. But
Depends who it is, for sure.
if you can find it, because I know you might have to pay for it because it's kind of old. If you can find the Dave Foley episode, it's amazing.
I think I heard that. Does he talk about there was a Dave Foley podcast I heard that was actually kind of sad, like where he talked about how he has to like pay child support and it just was like really depressing. But it was interesting but also depressing at the same time. I don't remember if it was Marc Maron or somebody else, but
I don't remember that specific part of it, but I remember he talked about how he's in like a horrible marriage apparently. And
yeah, that's the one I heard.
he talked about like not having sex with his wife for like 8 years. Then
Forever.
they got divorced, and then he just had like sex with like everybody after.
Yeah, totally. Yep,
And
he
I'm like,
went, yeah.
I was like, you really? Like, this is
Dave
what?
Foley. Yep.
Yeah. Awesome.
First, yeah, it definitely was interesting. It's funny because the Kids in the Hall did tours, like when they did a bunch of reunion tours, and I made sure I saw every single one of them that came to Philadelphia or New York. And I made the mistake of, I mean, this is how long ago it was, but they had VHS tapes on sale that were behind the scenes of like the making of their tour and stuff like that. And I bought it and watched it, and it kind of ruined it a little bit for me because they all dislike each other strongly, or they all,
Oh man.
yeah, they it's I don't think it's like each other. They don't like Scott Thompson at all.
Oh, okay.
He
Yeah,
kind of
you know what?
comes
I think
off
I've heard that
as
too.
a douche. Yeah.
I think I've heard that too, where it's like, why aren't you guys together anymore? It's like, well, we all kind of like each other except for the one guy, and it's like it's all or nothing.
Yep, pretty much.
Because nobody wants to go see three out of the five kids in the hall.
No. Yeah, exactly. That's just sad.
That is
Nobody
really
wants
sad.
that.
Oh man. So you said that you like got in and out of wrestling like multiple times.
Yeah, in and out. Well, okay, so here's my guilty secret. I hated the Attitude Era. I hated it. I hated it so much. As an adult, I have revisited it a lot, and like I definitely appreciate it now, and I'm slowly trying to like catch myself up and acclimate myself to the Attitude Era. But as like a young middle school girl, the Attitude Era was like my worst nightmare.
It's so not for you.
Oh, it was so not for me, and I felt like it turned all of the boys around me into like total idiot jerks.
I can see that, yeah.
I hated it. Even as a kid, I guess I was just this like fiery feminist, and I was like, why are all these boys walking around telling everybody to suck it? Like, this is all professional wrestling's fault. I hate wrestling.
Hey, I will not suck it, gentlemen.
No,
You suck
I
it.
will not. And everybody would walk around doing the wolf symbol, and I mean that was NWO, but like just that whole era of wrestling during that time period, like, just really turned me off. And it just was like, it always felt, I mean, it is, but there's so much of it that was just like degrading to women and like super raunchy. And it just like, I hated it. It made me so mad.
That makes
But
complete and total sense.
oh, yeah, totally. It's funny because going back to SNL, there's something that I didn't get until I was an adult on a similar platform, and that is Andy Kaufman. And when Andy Kaufman used to wrestle women and he was super misogynistic, like, I don't think I realized how much I bought into it until I was an adult and went back and like revisited and watched it and finally realized. It was like one of those moments where like I realized my whole belief in something was like a sham because I didn't realize it was a joke. And then I just never thought about it again until, you know, later in life. And then I finally saw all the inner workings of like what he was trying to do, and suddenly it just was like brilliant to me.
Yeah,
So,
that happened to me when Brett turned against the USA and was all like pro Canada.
yeah, oh my
And
God.
like as a kid, like Brett was one of my favorites, and I was genuinely hurt by him turning on like all of us and doing this. And then again, like
Yep.
years later, once you learn like the inside workings of wrestling, like it just hits you. You're like, oh
Yeah.
my God, he was amazing.
You're like, you got me. You got me so bad, and I love it.
Yeah.
I
Yeah. So
totally love it.
Andy Kaufman's just one of those guys. Like I've
Yeah, man.
never I it's always fascinating to hear Andy Kaufman's stories. Although I feel like gosh, what's his name? Like the guy who's kind of I don't want to say producer, but it was whoever Paul Giamatti played in Man on the Moon, like that character of him. Like hearing interviews with him, it seems like a lot of the Andy Kaufman story he tells seem like more like tall tales than anything else. So it's
Yeah,
tough to
that's
tell like what's actually real and
what's
what's not.
real and what's not.
Which I guess
Yeah.
that's the genius behind Andy Kaufman.
That's the genius. I mean, it's so simple. It's so simple. Like hating on women, like verbally condescending women, like you're going to have a million people like up in arms against you. It's easy and it's simple and it's something that's been used in wrestling as well for a very long time. And I just, you know, I think it was just one of those things. I've always been very sensitive about like women are just as good as men. And so any little thing where women are being degraded or like, you know, I was very quick to be up in arms and mad. But so now as an adult, I go back and I watch this stuff, and some of it is still just as offensive as it ever was, but I definitely have more of an appreciation for a lot of that, for a lot of the stuff that was happening at that time. So,
And what got you back into wrestling?
actually, Chikara got me back into wrestling. So I mean, and I think that kind of shows the ebb and flows of wrestling too. Like, I've always loved the super, you know, theatrical costumes, bright colors, like funny things happening, dramatic scenery. And then I feel like everything got kind of dark and serious for a little while. Lots of black everywhere, lots of red. And then, you know, life happened. I did a lot of different things all over the place with my life. And then, I found myself one day living in South Philadelphia, and a friend of mine named Jordan, who is from the Lehigh Valley, was telling me about this wrestling promotion that ran a few blocks away from my house. At the time, I was living like 4 blocks away from the arena. I went to college in Philadelphia and somehow missed all of that amazing like CM Punk, Colt Cabana, Ring of Honor stuff, which drives me nuts to this day. But Jordan was familiar with Chikara from going to see their shows in the Valley. And he told me about a King of Trios that was happening. And so I showed up. I decided to go check it out and give it a shot. And I walked in the door. And the first thing I saw was two men dressed up like ice cream cones wrestling, two men dressed up like goats, and then another guy dressed up like a fake, like kind of like a pseudo punk rock anarchist guy. And I think that was it. That was it. That's all I needed to be completely 100% in again on wrestling.
That makes my heart warm to hear that.
Oh man, it actually makes my heart warm thinking about it, 'cause it was such a good moment. Like that was you know, I had graduated like college not too long before that, and I was like feeling kind of lost, and it's kind of weird to say that wrestling might have helped me find my way again, but it's so true. Like, it helped me find my way again, and I love it. It's
Well,
so good.
that's like 10 years of your life you didn't watch any wrestling at all then.
Yeah, a really long time, a really long time when I wasn't paying attention to wrestling. So I've had a lot of catching up to do.
Hey guys, she's not one of us.
I totally am. I just was interested in other things like Kids in the Hall and the X-Files
You have
and
no idea how much chunk of my life Kids in the Hall took out in those 10 years, guys.
yep.
No idea.
A lot of time, a lot of time. Hey, I've also had many other lives. Like I did roller derby for a little while too.
Oh, please
Like
tell me about your roller derby career.
I did roller derby. It was a lot like that movie League of Their Own, only with more hitting and roller skates. And
Fine.
my name was Sandra Dio Clobber.
Excellent.
It
I
was a
love
little highbrow. Yeah, it was awesome. It was kind of good. I did roller derby in Philly for 2 years, and then I stopped for a little while. And then I actually tried to go back recently. And I'm a great skater, but it turns out we had to do like a drill where you actually had to like have full contact and like get hit. And a girl bumped into me and like threw me across the room onto the concrete floor. And I went, no, I think I'm done. I don't like to get hit anymore. I think I'm officially old.
I've changed.
I'm changed. I don't have that fiery like punk rock attitude spirit
Now
anymore.
I just imagine the girls like assuming there were like former teammates there who knew you, like, what happened to you, Zia?
You
Used
went
to be
soft.
cool, man.
You used to be so awesome and tough. I was always the tiny one, so roller derby was funny for me. I was the little person that like skated real fast in between everybody, and I kind of didn't follow the rules of roller derby in a way, because it's like full contact and like aggressive, but it was always my goal not to get hit by anybody. Because I realized when I get hit, I fall down, and then I have to get up and skate twice as fast to catch back up with everybody again. So my goal always was to not get hit. So
That's
people
usually
might tell
that's
me it
like my
was good
life
too.
goal.
To just not get hit, right?
Yeah.
Seems like a good goal.
Like I'm like, well, I'm going to work today. I sure hope I don't get hit. That
Yeah, I
would suck.
sure hope nobody hits me. So yeah, so that's how I got back involved in Chikara. And also like through people like I actually met I started photographing with Chikara because I went to photo school. And so I have a background in photography. And then through a weird series of events, I actually met Bryce Remsburg at a party in Philadelphia. And it was a mattress wrestling party, and it was at this big warehouse
Hold
space,
on, a
kind of.
mattress wrestling party.
It was a mattress wrestling party,
Not
right?
mattress slash wrestling party.
Oh no, it was strictly a mattress wrestling party. It was being, I mean, this is going to all sound super douchey, and I
I'm
apologize
so
in
excited
advance.
to hear this.
Oh my God. So, okay, here's the story of how I met Bryce. It was a girl I knew. I live in West Philadelphia now, and it was a girl I knew in West Philadelphia who's moving out of the city, and she decided that her final hurrah in the city was to have a mattress wrestling party. And I heard about it through her directly, and it was at this big warehouse space on the outskirts of town. And I guess that she had gone out of her way to invite Bryce because she knew him through comedy and she knew he was a referee. And Bryce showed up with Larry Sweeney. So I go to this party with my boyfriend at the time, and it was packed. It was so packed. There were like a bunch of mattresses set up on the floor. There were easily hundreds of people there. Some people, you were encouraged to dress up, so some people were in costumes and stuff like that.
Were you encouraged to dress up as like wrestlers or just like Halloween costumes or whatever?
Nope. You were encouraged to dress up as wrestlers,
And did you dress
and
up?
I did. I like kind of haphazardly put together this costume that was Blanka from Street Fighter, the big green
Of
guy.
course I do.
Of course. Okay, I'm so sorry.
I'm
Yeah,
just
of course you know Blanka. I had a children's Blanka outfit. So I had on this like green shirt with like this fuzzy chest piece on top of it, and like green leggings, and I had some sort of I had a mask at I think I brought a mask and then I lost it at one point. Like I took it off. I like demasked myself, like very anti-lucha libre.
Solid lucha de apuesta with yourself.
Exactly. It was yeah, it was it, there was a lot of I had inner demons wrestling at the time.
Don't we all?
So long story short, not to get too verbose on this whole topic, but I showed up to this party and saw art kids, and basically all these mattresses were put in the middle of the floor, and like people were encouraged to have like little wrestling matches, like super backyard style. But none of these art kids actually knew, in my opinion, what wrestling was, because I was watching them and I was like, come on, guys, haven't you ever like watched people put a match together? Like, come on, I've seen a few WWF matches, guys. I know what I'm doing. But I went up there with my boyfriend, and we actually like blew everybody away. Like we put together this like super funny like kind of backyard match, and people were super impressed. And at that point, Bryce and Larry Sweeney showed up, and so I ended up in a match with Larry Sweeney, me, and I think like three other girls. Because he wanted to do like an Andy Kaufman kind of thing where he wrestled us all.
Oh my God.
And so me and these three other girls ended up wrestling Larry Sweeney. But what ended up happening was the other girls that I was involved with had never really like, they just didn't know anything about wrestling. So they didn't know what they were doing. And immediately Larry Sweeney picked up that I did. So the match just kind of turned into me versus Larry Sweeney at this warehouse space. And he had his Texarkana belt on the line in our match, and I won it. So I became the Texarkana champion that night
The
against.
ICWA Texarkana Television Champion.
Yep, that's the formal title. That's how it
You
goes.
would know. You've held that belt.
I held that belt. It was glorious. It was awesome. So that was my re-entry into wrestling. That was my beautiful moment.
Wow.
So
That's a hell of a story.
it was good. It was a really good night. And I also, after that, I was like, oh my God, I don't know how these guys do this. I don't know how these guys wrestle. I am so sore. I don't want to leave my bed for days.
Well, it just gave you a deeper appreciation for what those men did.
It gave me such a deeper appreciation. And I am very flattered that Larry Sweeney found any bit of a spark in me, you know.
So is Sweeney basically the one who kind of got your foot in the door to become the Chikara photographer?
I feel like like after that, I mean, Sweeney and I kept touch after that, but it was mainly Bryce, because I talked to Bryce after that and I was like, this is cool. You guys are great. Like, I'm a photographer. Like, I've seen the shows. And Bryce was like, you should come to the shows and photograph ringside. And so that's when I started. And I was really nervous at first, but then I just kind of threw myself into it. And like, since then, I feel like I have not left their side. So that was kind of it. That was kind of it. I was hooked. So then I started spending all my weekends, like they started to invite me on the road. So I started, putting myself in a car with all the guys and driving to Canada with them and driving down south with them and driving to Chicago and taking these epic road trips. And it was good because I come from, so part of my other life is that I feel like I have this background kind of in punk rock, where I play bass and I've been in multiple bands, and I feel like the independent wrestling scene is very, very similar in a lot of ways to the like DIY punk scene.
Very
And
much so.
yeah, it felt like a smooth transition. It's so similar, just like the long hours on the road and the camaraderie and like, even just like merchandising, like putting yourself out there and meeting people and putting on a show and then, packing it all up and getting into a car and driving to the next town, you know.
Yeah, it's funny. I feel like I've had so many friends and who are big wrestling fans and things like that who learn a lot about the business and stuff incorporate sort of a lot of these ideologies and things about marketing yourself or do it yourself or a bunch of other just little things here and there and incorporate it into their real life
Oh, yeah, totally.
or like use it in their office if people are like, you're a genius. And it's like, I just stole this from pro wrestling, but okay, that's fine.
Yeah, I love that. I love those little things that you steal and utilize in your real life.
And no one has a clue.
Nobody has a clue. So,
So
yes.
why photography, if you don't mind me asking? It's like, hey, I like punk rock. Hey, I like wrestling. Photography?
Photography. Well, my dad was always kind of an artist. I like surprise, surprise, my name is Zia. Like I have hippie parents.
Let's get out of town.
I know. No, my parents are actually quite corporate and straight-laced. You have no idea.
Well, I'm sure people are like, Zia, is she using her kayfabe name here on the show? No, it's a real name.
Do you want to hear what my alternate names were? One of them actually would be pretty awesome with how much we love wrestling if I
Okay.
actually was named it. I almost was named Diesel.
Oh
My
my
parents
God.
almost named me Diesel.
Diesel Hilty is the
Yeah.
coolest name.
Diesel
Especially for
Hilty.
a female.
Oh my God. I really would have to be pretty like I'd have to be a tough ass broad.
Yeah, man, you thought you were tired of it. They tell you to suck it in middle
Oh my
school.
God. If my
Diesel,
name was
Diesel,
Diesel.
good Lord.
So Diesel was one, and then the actual runner up to my name was El Camino. My parents wanted to name me El Camino.
Wow, like your whole first name would be El Camino.
My mom told me recently, I mean, I don't know if this is actually true, but she told me recently that I think you have 24 hours to name your kid. And she told me that I was born and I still didn't have a name on the books, and my dad was walking me around the hallway introducing me to people as El Camino.
Wow.
So I was just I lucked out. I
See,
lucked out with
well,
Zia.
but then you could have been like, hey, the Black Keys wrote an album all about me.
Yeah, all about me.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, Zia actually has it's got a symbol. The Z is on. It's on all the license plates in New Mexico. So, whatever. No big deal.
It just sounds like someone's moving to New Mexico.
Yeah, I'm kind of a big deal in New Mexico on all the license plates.
You and Walter White are the two big things about New Mexico now.
I guess so. I actually, confession, I don't watch Breaking Bad. It gives me too much anxiety.
Do you brag about not watching Breaking Bad on social
No.
media? Then you're fine. Then I don't,
Yeah, no,
that's
I'm
okay with.
fine. I try not to brag about stuff like that. There's no need.
It's also
It's
not something
like,
to really brag about. It's just like, great, I don't watch a lot of TV shows. Just shut up about it.
yeah, I'm like, I'm old now. I find it very hard to keep up with TV shows. Stuff on the TV. I don't even have a TV, actually. I watch everything on my computer, so.
Well, I think that's not as uncommon as I think you would find.
That's standard. Yeah, I feel like that's pretty standard.
Like, I feel like I'm weird for actually having cable and like a DVR. Like, I think that's super weird. I feel like most people don't have that.
Yeah, I like,
Especially at
I
like our
find that
age.
the only stuff that's kind of like that I find that's on cable anymore is like all reality TV, and I feel like it's just mindless.
It's funny, like, I don't. What's weird to me is that people still channel surf. Like, I have the
Yeah.
programs I watch, and I DVR them, and I watch them whenever I want to. And then I have, like, a million DVDs of things I want to watch. And that's what I choose to. And, the internet, of course. And that's what I choose to spend my time watching. Like, I have so much stuff that's on, like, a list of things I want to watch that, like, channel surfing. Like, I don't have time for that. Get out of town.
Yeah, don't have time.
Yeah. So, anyways, photography. We got way off track with this.
Oh yeah, okay, so photography. Yeah,
Hippie
so
artist. Got it.
hippie parents. My dad is actually he's a welder, but he's also like he's a sculptor now, but he always had a camera on him. So unfortunately I kind of came into photography. I went to college undecided. I went to an engineering school, so I got through my first year undecided, and then it came to a point where they just started to kind of push me into a major. So I had to make a decision. And so I ended up choosing to do photography, which, it's kind of great because I haven't let go of it. Like I've carried it along with me. And I think that, so, I mean, I don't know how many people do or do not know this, but I do a lot of wrestling related photography pretty much primarily now, and I feel like my artist background has kind of helped me being more distinguished in what I do, because I'm looking at wrestling photography from more of like a photojournalistic and artistic eye, at least I like to think so.
Sure,
I look at
you see a lot of things that like a wrestling fan would not see.
yeah I look at it like art because it's art, like everything about it is art to me.
Absolutely, I agree with you. We're on your side,
It's
Zia. You don't need to convince
yeah
us.
okay good I'm glad I don't have to convince you. Yeah, so I think so basically, yeah, so that's how I got into photography, and somehow I fell into this like niche with photography and wrestling, and it's awesome. And I've actually put up a few shows like in coffee shops of my wrestling photography.
I've seen that, yes.
Yeah, it's
Super cool.
cool. I haven't done one in a while. I guess I did one at the beginning of this year, but that feels like a while at this point.
Oh,
But
yeah.
I think if I can make photos for people that don't give like a crap about wrestling, like I think if I can make photos out of this subject matter and have it appeal to people that don't care about wrestling at all, I feel like I've done my job.
Sure, absolutely. And
And
do you find that happens a lot?
yeah, I do. I actually have a lot of people. I have a lot of people who like really hate wrestling come up to me and tell me how much they enjoy my photographs and how it's given them like a better appreciation of it in a way. And I think that that's really cool. I think that's great.
That is really cool. What are the
Yeah, I think it's good.
I know you're mostly associated with Chikara, but you've definitely done a lot of photography for other companies. What other companies have you done photography for out there?
Yeah, well, at this point, I guess I've done a lot. I'm always like super thankful when somebody like, or grateful rather, when somebody gives me permission to come and photograph, like even just ringside. I think it's really amazing. But I've done Evolve. I've done like the Extreme Rising promotions. I've done Beyond. I've done CZW. I've done.
You did the extravaganza.
I did the extravaganza, which was
Yeah,
amazing.
please, we'll get to that in a second, because I definitely want to hear how that was.
That was so good. I think that kind of, I mean, I know I might be forgetting a few places, but I think that pretty much wraps it up. I haven't done WSU yet, or I would love to do Shimmer. I would love to try and do Shimmer at some point, but Chicago is so far away.
It is far away. I love
It's
Chicago, though. Every time I visit there, it's always a good time.
Yeah, great city. The only thing I don't get about Chicago is why it's winter there 11 months out of the year. That like doesn't make any sense to me why their city's so broken,
Were
but
you there during Tag World this past year?
I wasn't. I totally missed out. I had to make the decision. I was either going to go to do the Southern Chikara route or the Tag World Grand Prix, and I chose the Southern route.
Well,
Because I hadn't done
A, you messed up because you could have met me. But B,
I messed
it
up.
was very hot that weekend.
Yeah, that's
Very.
surprising when that happens there.
Yeah, so. But yeah, it was funny because I think I went, well, the first time I went there, I didn't bring a jacket. My friend was like, "You didn't bring a jacket?" I'm like, "What? It's like May." And then I realized, nope, I made a horrible mistake.
I immediately regret this decision.
Precisely. So, no, you're not right, though. So yeah, the extravaganza, which for fans of the show we talked about with Marion Fontaine a few episodes ago, you were there taking pictures. All it did was make me salivate to get my hands on a copy of this show and watch it immediately. Tell me, how did
Oh,
you enjoy the extravaganza?
it was great. It was so good. I've been talking with Marion Fontaine about the DVD, and just wait, he's been toiling away on it and working really hard on it, and it's going to be awesome. It's going to be really awesome. So you will not be disappointed, and you will get to see the extravaganza. So
I
that's the good
better.
news. You will get to see it. It turned out so good. It turned out so much better than I even could have imagined. But there's just so many details that were not like forgotten about. Like there was a live band. It was like a live, like 8-piece band that played everybody to and from the ring. One of the guys, Burly Bill Taylor, he actually came to the ring in a Model T car, which was awesome.
Get out of here.
Oh, it was so good. So he's so for those who don't know Burly Bill Taylor, he is actually a bad guy. He is a meanie. And he came in his Model T. He was chauffeured to the ring, and he got out, and his chauffeur obviously asked for a tip. And when he could not provide a tip, he went into the crowd and picked up a child, turned him upside down, shook him, took all of the money that fell out of the children's pocket, and then paid the chauffeur with him, and then proceeded to get into the ring and wrestle Greg Iron.
Okay, you can't see me right now, but I'm currently shoving my credit card into my disk drive onto my laptop in the hopes that this will somehow get me a copy of this faster.
No, don't do that. You might break your computer.
Oh.
Don't do that. Just hold out a little bit longer. Just
Okay.
a little bit longer.
Okay.
That's how the show started, actually.
This is so
That was the beginning
fantastic.
of the show. Oh, it was so good. There was it was a it was a really great crowd. There were prohibitionists. There was a match which was the whiskey bootleggers versus the prohibitionists, and the prohibitionists were obviously out handing out their anti-alcohol paraphernalia to the crowd well before the show had begun. There was a mustache competition, so you could vote for your favorite mustache. There was a popcorn vendor selling popcorn for 25 cents. There was a newsie who was delivering playbills for the show for a nickel. Yeah, it was great. I highly encourage everybody. It like so basically it was for people who don't know about the extravaganza, you should look it up, but it was an all turn of the century themed wrestling show. And it was so much fun.
20th century, we should point out.
20, yes, I should specify 20th century.
Not the
Yeah.
21st century.
Not the 21st century.
Nah.
But it was really good. I don't know if you saw the photos online, but the group photo turned out amazing.
Yeah, I told you I saw the photos and I was just beating my head into the computer hoping to like just somehow that would get me to be there.
Yeah, like you would just transport yourself, like you would slip in, like Ghost
Exactly,
Rider or
exactly.
something.
And
Yeah.
everybody who I've talked to who's been at the event has like I feel like I can feel them smiling as they're talking to me through like Google chat talking about it. Like it's
It
that
was
kind of thing.
good. I'm so happy that everybody walked. It just, you know what? The best thing about it was fun and entertaining and lively, and everybody who was there felt like they were a part of it, and really getting a show. And everybody walked away smiling, and that's what matters. I think that's what matters the most. The live band like did it for me. It was amazing. It was so cool to have like a band kind of like interacting with people coming in and out of the ring and stuff. That was really cool. And it was cool to see Thunder Kitty wrestle. I think I've only seen her wrestle once before, so it was really great to like actually see her in action in the ring again. Trying to think who else was there. Everybody who was on the show just killed it, man. It was really, really great.
Well, we had, Chikara people like Jervis and Dasher and Chuck Taylor and all those guys. So obviously seeing some familiar faces is really
Yep.
cool.
I'm obviously biased to the Chikara guys because they're great. Oh, Matt Cross, he was great too.
Against R.D. Evans.
Against R.D. Evans, who was what I like to refer to as he was the bad guy from Jumanji. He
Oh
was
my
the hunter from
gosh.
Jumanji. And Matt Cross was obviously in a leopard print loincloth. So
Obviously.
naturally, those two felt a lot of animosity, or at least R.D. Evans felt some animosity towards Matt Cross, probably thinking that he was some sort of animal that he was trying to capture. It was good. And it's cool because it was like all on a fairground. So it's just like a lot of, it was in a rundown barn, and people just sat in like the original stadium seating that was in this fairground. So, yeah. So
We should probably
there you
stop
go.
talking about this because I'm getting excited and angry at the same time.
I know. So there you go. That's the extravaganza. But stay peeled because I actually think I might do a, I was thinking about this and I think I'm going to do like a little zine type of book with all of my portraits that I took from the event. So I might try and release that at the same time as the DVD. So
Please,
fingers crossed.
please do.
Yeah, I like the photos that I took are just like so cool and so beautiful. And I shot pictures of like all these people in their like old-fashioned garb in front of like hanging wallpaper and just like paint peeling, and it turned out really cool. I'm really excited about that.
That is sounds so awesome.
Yeah.
Let me
So
ask
that's
you a question since you do the photography and you've had the opportunity to go to a lot of these shows. And we were talking off air before this, you were talking about going through some of your old photography and you had remembered a lot of things that you had forgotten about. What would you say as a wrestling fan is the coolest opportunity you've had, whether it be meeting somebody or just something you got to do that being a wrestling photographer has provided for you?
Okay, this actually could give you a few good stories. I think that one of the most exciting, this is one of the most exciting
You can
things that
share
gets
all of
me.
them if you want, because I mean, hey, we come for the wrestling stories. That's a
It's
podcast.
true. I have some good wrestling stories. I don't want to take too much time on your
Oh
podcast,
God, did
but
you listen to the Leonard F. Jacarson
I
episode?
did.
It was
It was
days.
delightfully long.
Yeah,
It
days long.
lasted for hours, days. One of the things, so as the lead photographer, in Chikara, what my responsibilities were entailed me actually shooting headshots of most of the people who would come to the show and be on the show in front of the Chikara background. So frequently I would be in charge of wrangling old, like, WWF talent and tracking them down and getting a picture of them in front of the Chikara background. So I think because of that, I've had a lot of funny and delightful, interactions with a lot of, like, older distinguished wrestlers. I think one of my favorite ones was Marty Jannetty. When I shot Marty Jannetty's photo, he was super nice, and he was very concerned about how his hair looked. So at one point, he had me come over and actually brush his hair for him,
Aw.
which was amazing. And it happens like close to the Chikara locker room, and there just was like nobody there to see it. So I just have to remember this myself. It just was like a moment that will be captured in my own brain forever,
And shared for all of us to enjoy
and
now.
shared for everybody here. So yeah, Marty Jannetty asked me to brush his hair, which is something that I did.
That is like the cutest thing I've ever heard.
Oh my God, it was so funny. And then I think that Marty Jannetty, hopefully Marty Jannetty is not listening to this. I don't know why he
There's
would.
no way he knows what a podcast is.
There's no way he knows. Later he saw me walking around, and he kind of came up to me and like did one of those like, "How you doing, sport?" and like ruffled his hand through, almost like a jovial uncle, like kind of rustled his hand through my hair and then put me in a headlock and just kind of went, "Hey, how you doing?" and then just like let me go and walked away. I was like, "This is great. This is awesome."
That is pretty fantastic.
I also had a really good man, which one? I think it was Barry Darso from Demolition. I think that's who
Smash.
told. Yeah. So
Big Darso.
they were on The Last King of Trios, and he told me an amazing story about how I found this old wrestling magazine. I found this Japanese wrestling magazine at a flea market, and it had a bear on the cover of it. And when I was just trying to make like little small talk with him, I pulled out this magazine and I showed it to him, and I was just making a comment about this, like, it was, I think it was one of them, it was somebody pose, it was like an old wrestler posing with a bear, like a taxidermed bear on the cover. And so Barry Darso proceeds to tell me a story about how when he was younger, he used to wrestle bears at the fair, at the county fair. That was like something that wrestlers, I guess, just used to do. And he told me all these stories about how like they would feed the bear marshmallows and Coca-Cola, and some days would be better, some days would be better than others. And he had this show where the bear really beat him up. Like the bear just was like not in a good mood. And they were like legitimately wrestling these animals. And the bear kind of smacked him around, and he came to the back. And I guess Rick Rude was also on the show. And Rick Rude said, "Don't worry, man. I'll take care of that bear for you." And Rick Rude proceeded to go back out to the ring and just punch the bear right in the face. That was
That's
it.
great.
Yep. So that's how Rick Rude handled the situation. And I just was like sitting there, like looking at, both the dudes from looking at Axe and Smash, and they're telling me about how they used to wrestle bears on the fair circuit and just like chuckling about it. And it's like, it's moments like that that are really amazing. So
So you're telling me that bear went to work and got punched in the face.
that bear went to work and Rick Rude went out and punched it directly in the face.
It's like
Yeah,
another
that's how
side
Rick Rude
there.
handled it.
Like a real man.
Like a real man. So yeah, so like little stories like that. Tatanka didn't want his photo taken. He skirted me. He was like not into it.
So you did not get a photo with Tonka, or
I did
April.
get a photo of Tatanka eventually, but it took a lot of persistence. I had to basically.
Have you ever had anybody just flat out refuse?
No, I think that like some people just don't like their photo taken, which I totally get. I mean, it doesn't take long, it only takes a few seconds, but like some people try and skirt me. Like Tatanka, I feel like tried to skirt me, but you just got to be persistent. I feel like I just stalked him around the building for a little while and finally caught him just as he was about to go out. Right before he was about to like make his entrance, I managed to like force him in front of the Chikara background.
And that's perfect because that's when he has the headdress and the paint and everything
That
on,
was
right?
perfect. And it was unreal because like, I mean, all of these guys are just normal guys, but all of a sudden he was just transformed into Tatanka. He actually he was about ready to go out and he took his shirt off, and I mean all the guys, a lot of the older guys have to oil down before they go out. And all of a sudden he just seemed like the biggest, like he couldn't have gotten any bigger. He suddenly was like 9 feet tall and super huge, like super beefy dude. And he just suddenly like became, he went from just a normal guy to like Tatanka. All of a sudden he just was like, Tatanka is in front of me, and it's crazy.
That's the magic of pro wrestling.
That's the magic of pro wrestling. So yeah, so I feel like that's all great. That's like one of the little perks, like just having these funny little interactions with, these dudes. Jerry Lynn also was amazing. Jerry Lynn is super nice. I also had conversations. I have a lot of conversations about hair, I guess, somehow. Jerry Lynn and I talked about his hair for a while and how his wife bleaches it for him and, shot his picture and then he went on his way. I like having like these little, these humanizing conversations with people. It's really good.
Definitely. Now, since you are a vegetarian, I have to ask. The weekend I went to Easton was King of Trios, and everyone was raving about the vegetarian hot dogs they had there. Were they as good as advertised? Did you have one?
I actually didn't have one.
Oh,
I didn't
man.
have one, but Mantis was ranting and raving about them and how much he loved them.
Okay, because I think they like sold out of them one night, and I was
Yeah,
like,
I think they
wow.
did. I think that's awesome.
Because I was like, get out of here. There's no way that's you're crazy. And then the one time I was like, I'm hearing like 50 people talk about these. I don't want to be like the one guy to not have one. And they're like, we're sold out. And I was like,
God damn
well, it's like it
it.
made the decision for me because I was like, should I? Oh, you don't have any? Okay, well, that's
Okay, well, you've made my decision for
yeah,
me.
just give me a pretzel then.
Oh, the pretzels are so good.
They are
I
very good.
think I honestly think that Mantis had a lot to do with. I think he might have even brought the hot dogs. I
That's
want to say he
great.
brought them. He's real cool. He's really cool, and he was like very determined to have an alternative for people at the, at the King of Trios weekend, and so he went out of his way to do something special like that. I
Well,
don't know if he would ever admit it, but
he doesn't want to, he has to keep his evil and devious persona out there, but
I know he's very evil and devious, but at the same time, he's very thoughtful. So, don't let that deviousness fool you.
you talked about your love of punk rock. How about him signing his Relapse record deal? That's pretty sweet.
Oh man, so good for him. Yeah, it's so awesome and so surreal. I think his band has only played two shows, and I was at both of them. And it's definitely great and odd all at the same time, because I think that anything, it's weird when the boundaries of wrestling and non-wrestling begin to blur,
Oh, I love
because,
it though.
oh, I love it. It's great. And that's what happens when his band plays, because, the first show, I think that more people knew exactly what they were getting into, but the second show is that kind of like a popular music space in Philadelphia. And there were a lot of non-wrestling people there, and it just like blew their minds to see what was happening. Because a lot of people don't know, a lot of people don't know that he fronts the band and stuff like that, I think. So the and they're newer bands, so a lot of people just don't know them in general. But the band plays and Mantis is not on stage, and then all of a sudden, like halfway through a song, he just kind of emerges with his staff and with like his robe on, and just like suddenly becomes this like huge presence and just starts singing. And watching non-wrestling people who don't know anything about him or like kind of the scene that we're involved in, it just like blows their minds.
That's so cool to see. Is this band
Yeah.
just called Ultraman is Black?
I think they have a longer title than that, but I don't remember what it is, admittedly. I think it's like Ultramantis Black and like the experience. Or so. Oh, no, I don't remember. It's something like the experience. That's what I'll call them from now on.
Some
The
fan you are.
Ultramantis Black experience. I know, I'm like the worst fan.
Ultramantis Black, Jimi Hendrix, basically the same person.
Yeah, they're like the same thing. I think that's where he gets his inspiration from. I think he pulls a lot from Jimi Hendrix.
Is that so? Maybe the fire
Yeah.
portion of it, but everything.
Definitely. I'm actually their PR rep too, so everything I'm saying is like completely accurate.
Totally true.
Totally truthful.
Band
But
name,
yeah.
no clue. Totally PR person.
Yeah, I'm happy for them. It was also funny because before he came on stage, I was listening to the people next to me talk about which member of his band they thought the wrestler was.
What?
Yeah, they were like, because they
Not the one
knew.
in the mask with the staff and everything.
Yeah, well, he hadn't come out yet. So they were
Oh,
like,
okay.
but they were like, we heard there's a wrestler in this band. Which one do you think it is? And they just proceeded to like pick apart the physique of every member on stage. And then finally Mantis came out and they were like, oh, I guess it's that one. I guess it's the one with the staff and the mask on. Oh, it makes so much sense.
That's great.
It's cool though. They're reminiscent of old hardcore bands. Real like straight, actually pretty like straight-laced vegan straight-edge hardcore bands, because in between songs he actually does like little speeches about positive messages that he's trying to get across, and it's cool, like political messages and like pro-veganism, conversations and stuff. And people also don't really know what to think about that either, which I think is kind of interesting.
Like how they
But
don't know how to feel about veganism.
they don't know how to feel about somebody lecturing them in between songs, I think.
That is a little, I understand that, I guess.
Yeah.
Because you don't want to come off like preachy, because no one likes
Yeah.
that.
It definitely comes across preachy, and but like that's kind of, Mantis, Ultra Mantis has always been very involved in like the hardcore scene, and like he comes from a ba I mean I don't want to speak for Mantis, but he does, like, just in general, like he comes from a hardcore scene that was very much into that kind of aesthetic. So I think it's
Sure.
really cool that he's like trying to make people care about things again. And I kind of love that people just find it kind of preachy in a way too. Like, I feel like it's going to make people pay attention to kind
Sure.
of what he's saying. So
Yeah, and caring is cool again. So there is
Carrying
that.
a school again. But besides all that, he's very devious. So
So,
very evil and devious. Let's not confuse that.
loves animals, but God, does he hate humans?
Hates the humans, loves the animals. You'll hear that in his speeches too. A lot of them are about animals.
Which is why
So.
I always love like watching some of this 07 Jakar I'm doing now is like whenever like Hydra has to face Moscow, he's always appalled.
Oh God, Hydra. Hydra's another good one. I forgot about Hydra. Can never forget about Hydra.
Was it him you defeated for the hardcore title? Or somebody else? It
I
was
defeated Bryce.
Bryce. Yes,
My
Bryce
very
Hydra.
short hardcore title run. Yeah, I was quite evil and devious myself, and I flashed him with my camera and used that opportunity to steal his belt. But
But then
I was
Jigsaw super kicked you, which is pretty devious.
quickly defeated by Jigsaw. But I think this is what I kind of think. I'm calling a little bit of a sham here, because if we're under DDT rules, technically I think that since my camera wasn't on top of me, I think that my camera therefore wins the belt. So I want to say that this timeline of the belt is kind of a false, and that my camera is still the title holder, but
Well, hold on a second. Did we establish a system of rules for this hardcore title? It seems to be kind of whatever Chuck Taylor decides that week.
Well, that's the thing. It's lawless. There's no rules. So I don't see why a belt couldn't win. I mean, a ladder won the DDT. I think it was DDT,
It
right? The
was
ladder won.
DDT, yes.
A dog won. A ladder won. I don't see why my camera as an inanimate object couldn't win, but we'll see.
I've told people this that I think in the wake of Jakar's demise, the hardcore title is the best thing to come of it.
The hardcore title is a brilliant idea, and I love that it
How has
exists.
it not happened before?
I don't know.
It's actually pretty amazing. And good
And
on you, Chuck Taylor, for doing it.
Chuck Taylor. If anybody doesn't know about this, you should definitely check it out. It's a 24/7 defend anywhere, anytime hardcore title belt. And I think it's also quite brilliant that you can catch these pay-per-views for this hardcore belt on Instagram, which is great. It's like such a fantastic use of social media.
The annoying thing is, like, two of those defenses live forever on Vine and only Vine. And I'm like, oh, and I'm like, and oh God, I'm such an OCD person. I'm like, can't they all just be in the one place?
Can't we just streamline this, guys? Look, you should write Chuck Taylor a very well-written letter about his streamlining process.
There's no way he will take me seriously or care. So that's
No,
fine.
never. He won't.
All right, Zia Hilty, former ICW, ICWA, Texarkana television champion and hardcore champion.
Thank you for
We've
addressing me by my appropriate title.
absolutely. I'm sure they better be on your resume.
They are. That's the first thing you see. It's
Good.
the only thing on my resume, actually.
If that doesn't get you a job, well, they obviously shouldn't have you anyways. They're too good for
If it
them.
doesn't get me a job, I'll just pile drive th somebody through a table and then I walk out, because that's how I roll.
That's how you roll. Well, thank you for being on the show. This is absolutely a delight
Yeah, thank you
talking to
so
you.
much for letting me ramble. I really appreciate it.
That's really what the show is doing.
Yeah.
But of course, before we get out of here, I got to let you plug your stuff because people need to see these beautiful photographs you take.
Thank you. You can my website's pretty easy. It's Zia Shoots Wrestling, and that's Zia is Zia. Couldn't get any more simple than that.
They'll see it when the podcast is there. It's
Yep,
written.
so there you go. I love that we had another hour and a half podcast. We're trying to beat out Chikara-san.
For the record, Zia told me that my podcasts were too long. And so
I did.
I just am going to make this one long just to make her mad. Because I'll be like, hey, did you just an art podcast? Did you think that was too long too?
Oh no, I think this podcast was perfectly timed.
If not too short.
That lady was a delight. I would listen to her talk for hours. Would listen to again. So ziashootswrestling.com, and I'm on Twitter.
You don't
I'm
tweet very
around.
much.
I don't, I have this big kid job. It like takes up a lot of my mental energy, I think, during the day. So
I just assume you're important and busy all the time, and then it makes me feel sad because I'm like, I wish I had important things to do aside from go on Twitter.
I have many leather-bound books. I'll say that.
Okay.
Rich mahogany. Yeah. And also, I like to say, I don't like to say something unless I feel like it's kind of funny and witty. Too many people just say stuff like, oh, eating a good hoagie right now. And it's like, oh, boring. Boring.
Yeah, people on social media stink sometimes, but I try to make mine not the worst.
Yeah, yours is not the worst. Yours is enjoyable for sure.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Again, it doesn't even have to be good, just not the worst. Which is, I mean, that's singing to a whole nother depths. But yes. And what is your Twitter handle? I can't remember it off the top of my head.
Oh, you know what my Twitter handle is?
Oh, it's welcome
Welcome
to.
to Earth.
Yes. What is that about?
Do you really not know what that's about? Oh my God. Have you seen Independence Day?
Yeah.
One of the best movies of all time. That documentary, Independence Day.
Okay.
When the alien crashes down into Earth, to Earth, Will Smith walks up to to the spaceship and punches the alien in the face and says, "Welcome to Earth."
You are so racist, which goes back to the beginning of our conversation, but not to this podcast.
I'm not racist. He says Earth. He does. He says it sassy. It has nothing to do with race. It just has to do with sass.
Sure, okay.
Welcome to Earth.
There's an underscore in there, isn't there?
Yeah, it's welcome underscore to underscore earth.
You're terrible. You made it like so complicated for people to
Look,
follow you.
I made the yo, real talk. I've had that Twitter for a long time, and this was way before I knew anyone would be interested in anything I might have to say on the internet. So
Well, you should have just known.
I should have just known that I was destined for like 30 followers on Twitter. I should have known.
Yeah.
Well, welcome to Earth.
Welcome to Earth with an underscore somewhere in there. Look, show notes on pwponderings.com. We'll have the Twitter handle, we'll have your website. Anything else you got for us?
No, man, I think that's it. I'm all talked out. I'm ready for bed. I'm an old lady.
Yeah. Well, thank you again for coming on here. I'm sorry to keep you up past your bedtime. You're
Oh, not at all.
super late bedtime. It's not that late.
It's only like 8:30.
It's like 9:46 according to my
Oh boy. Oof.
We start around 8:30. I know you're all tuckered out.
I'm all tuckered
So,
out.
yeah. But again, thanks for doing this. It was a blast.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Thanks for listening to people who are still there.
I told you this was going to be a good episode with some really unique stories. And Zia was a little nervous before we did the show, and I think she knocked it out of the park. So, Zia, I want to thank you for coming on the show. I want to thank everybody for listening. Before we get out of here, I do got to get some plugs out of the way. First and foremost, you can follow me on Twitter at KFord13. Chat about wrestling and comics and whatever else tickles your fancy. Just not pro sports. I'm not good in that field. Also, be sure to follow at PW Ponderings and at WrestleFolks on Twitter. Lots of other great shows on there. On PW Ponderings, I sat down with my buddy Jerome Cuson. We talked to Gran Akuma and Jigsaw about ISW's Burger King of the Ring 2 tournament. We actually had a ton of people send in questions to ask them, and that monopolized a good portion of the show. So thank you, everybody who sent in questions. Go listen to them. I thought it was a really, really fun time, and I think you're going to have a fun time listening to as well. We also have the interview show with Jerome Cuson over there, the weekly newscast with Chris GST and Des Delgadillo, and Kevin Harvey presents the Schools In podcast every week as well. Over on WrestleFolks, who of course have the WrestleFolks show with Tom Green, the Reed Bentley and Nick Manoa variety show, and the brand new show, maybe my new favorite podcast, the Rocky Johnson Picture Show with Ben Pascal. Pascal, God. I've been watching Moscow matches in Jakarta lately. All right, back off. Ben Pascal, he talking a lot about movies involving wrestling. The Ready to Rumble episode this past week with Alex Fitzgerald is phenomenal. And especially since it's Fitzy's birthday this week, you really want to go listen to that episode. I think it's a great way to celebrate his birthday. So go on, listen to all that audio. Also on PW Ponderings, we provide a lot of DVD reviews and news and a bunch of other stuff involving indie wrestling. So if you're a fan of that, you're definitely going to follow that for results and other whatnot. If you're going to go to pwponderings.com, I do have a favor to ask. We're in that time of year where it's Black Friday, it's Christmas, it's Cyber Monday, Hanukkah, New Year's, whatever other holidays there are, and you're going to be buying a lot of your stuff through Amazon. Because look, shopping is terrible, especially this time of year. I like buying gifts and not leaving my house, which is why I buy the majority of my gifts through amazon.com. And presuming you do the same, I would love it if you go to pwponderings.com and buy through the Amazon banner. Also, we have a highspots.com banner. Maybe you're selfish. I'm a little selfish. I buy stuff through Highspots sometimes. Or maybe you have a wrestling fan in your life you want to buy for. That's pretty great too, right? You know, someone else to buy wrestling for. I could buy my friend a DVD. You know what the bonus part of that is? I could watch that DVD with him. So it's like a gift for both of us. We all win. And if you buy it through the highspots.com banner, same thing. Same website, same great price on stuff. We get a little kickback. We keep the site running. We keep bringing great podcasts like this one to you for $0. It'll make my Christmas. I'm not even going to put up an Amazon wish list or anything. Just go to Amazon and buy something for yourself or a friend or a family member or Highspots and do the same. And I'll be a very, very happy man. Thanks so much, everybody, for listening for this week. We'll be back with a brand new episode. But until then, thank you for being a fan.